Do you think there is hope for progression there?
If we're going to be honest, it's very much a circus. And the very fact that some of you might be offended by what I just told you is proof of the massive shift that we need to have. And reality, I'm sorry, does not care for your feelings.
Hey Zesties, welcome to the Gleeful Talk Show, where we share zesty stories to cultivate the happiness and hero within and out. On the show, we talk about personal experiences and development, society and culture. So if these are the topics that you're interested in, then please keep on listening and consider following the podcast. Now, if you have been listening to this podcast for some time, you would notice that I talk about topics on immigration and my immigration journey. However, today's episode is a very special episode wherein we have a guest who will talk about his immigration journey and his opinions on immigration in general. And that's no other than my co-host on the Nerdy Fans podcast, Ray. Hi, Ray. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Glee. And thank you for having me on the Gleeful Talk Show. And yes, I look forward to this topic. It's a very heavy topic. Right?
Yes. So Zesties, you will be in for fun and some thoughts to ponder on as well. So Ray, before we start delving into the deeper topics, let's first go to the lighter ones. So yes, may I ask why you moved out of the Philippines or immigrated to New Zealand?
Right. So the long story short, or the short version of this story, is definitely the same as many Filipino immigrants, which is to find a better life financially, primarily, in another country. So New Zealand was a great option for me. So that's why I chose it. Now, if I'm going to delve slightly deeper, let's just say the major catalyst as to why I was really pushed, or I pushed myself to go out of the Philippines, is because of my brother, actually. During that time, or around 2016, he went to the United States to go on his on-the-job training there through his course in hotel and restaurant management.
Wow. So
he actually had a great experience. He was in Florida in Nickelodeon World, right? And I saw him enjoying himself. But what really triggered me and really pushed me to join is when he told me about his pay. I calculated it. And look, nothing against blue-collar work or whatnot, but he was grilling burgers, he was sweeping and whatnot, as you'd expect from a staff in a Nickelodeon World. And he was, his net pay was higher than my gross. And my job entailed helping out the company that Glee and I used to work for earn millions of dollars, to be honest, my role as a bid manager then. So part of me felt, you know, that's unfair. You know, I'm working myself off. I'm doing a good job, and I'm not earning right, you know. So one thing led to another, and here I am in New Zealand.
Oh, wow. Well, I can, but did you consider also that of the cost of living by that time as well? Or is it more on like just in terms of dollar figure and, you know, at the end with the net pay, deducting your rent and et cetera, it's still better off?
Look, here's the thing. One of the things that came to my mind was just, I know I'm going to have a better life outside. That's the main thing that was just running on my mind. And with regard to those things that you talked about, like taxes and other deductibilities, paying for my own rent, learning to do things for myself, these things, yes, I did think about them. But somehow at the back of my mind, it was always, your life is better outside. Your life is better outside. It's a mantra that keeps on repeating. And I'll be honest, yes, there are times, of course, that I have to think about budget, that I have to, you know, think about what or what not to do. But the difference is, I can actually do that here, right? So, Zesties, I can actually succeed in planning my finances. I can actually succeed in spending for my needs and wants. Back in the Philippines, here's the honesty here. If it weren't for the fact that I was living with my parents, I wouldn't be able to enjoy going to the mall every Sunday or Saturday, I wouldn't be able to enjoy buying games for my then PlayStation 4 without dire financial consequences. Whereas here, if I want to buy a game, I shrug my shoulders and buy the game. That's really how it is here. If I want to eat out, I can eat out, right? That's a thing. And yes, some may argue that if you're a parent, it would be different compared to your to you being single. And yes, I am single with no kids of my own. But here's the thing. If I was in the Philippines, even with a single lifestyle, I wouldn't be able to do that. So even with all those thoughts marinating, how are we going to pay for this, this, and this? The answer was always clear at the back of my mind. I can pay for them.
That's very insightful, Ray. And so do you think that the Philippines as a third world country, I think we both agree that it is categorized as a third world country. Do you think there is a bit of hope in a sense that perhaps you might go back if it will be better in the future? Or, you know, do you think there is hope for progression there?
My fellow Filipinos, I know you will hate me for saying this, but based on my observance of being born and living there for 30 years, my answer is no. I don't see it at all. For the Philippines to progress, it needs a massive cultural shift. And I'm not just saying elections. The mindset has to change. And that change, quite honestly, is all politically incorrect if you're going to consider the standards of these times. I'm saying changing how we view entertainment. I'm saying changing how we make our choices, not just in life, but in things like politics and whatnot, engagement like those that are actually, if we're going to be honest, is very much a circus back in the Philippines. We're not going to lie there. And the very fact that some of you might be offended by what I just told you is proof of the massive shift that we need to have. So no, I don't think I'll be going anytime soon because I don't think there will be progress. And yes, if assuming the Philippines can become a first world country, will I consider it at this point in my life? The answer is still no, because here in New Zealand, I've dedicated myself to this country, so to speak. I pretty much do not have any plans of moving to Australia, like a lot of Kiwis do. That's reserved for other people, or a lot of people who need that. In here, I'm content. And even if the Philippines becomes a first world country, which I know it won't, in my lifetime at least, there's no way I'm going back. No.
I have to say that I share the same sentiment, and I'm with you there, Ray. It's very hard. I mean, it's gonna be again, I might get canceled with this, but I don't care. but I mean, we have to face reality. I mean, it's, as you said, we need a massive cultural shift in both as a society and individually as well. But do you think in terms of cultural shifts, do you think that colonization is a big part of that? Or can we still blame colonization because of that? You know what I mean?
I get what you're trying to ask, and that question is multifaceted. If I'm just going to stick to one answer, though, I would say no, because let's look at a lot of countries that were, in fact, colonized. In Southeast Asia in particular, our favorite example and home to many Filipinos, Singapore, they were colonized by the British for a long time, but because of a massive and probably forced cultural shift. They have probably one of the most, if not the most powerful passport in the world, right? We view Singapore with such majesty and at oftentimes jealousy, right? And they were colonized by the British, and look at them now. Now, I'm not saying that it's a full no, because I mentioned earlier it's multifaceted. The Philippines having been taken over by several countries, to be honest, not just Spain and the United States, you know, we have developed some positive stuff. I'll give you that. We're We have grit, we have courage, we have a love for hard work, right? That's the truth. But whenever we think about a product that's made in the US or made in Japan, made in probably even made in Spain versus something that says made in the Philippines, what do we think, to be honest, right? That's a negative part of colonization, where we have grown accustomed to viewing our own selves, the products that we do, as something inferior to our Western counterparts. Yes.
And even Asian counterparts.
Even Asian counterparts. Let's really be honest here about that, right? Made in Malaysia, made in Singapore, made in Indonesia versus made in the Philippines. The only time we'll think that something made in the Philippines is superior to those in other nations is probably just regarding our food. Let's be honest there. Right? No, when I mean, let me correct that, Filipino food. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So our thought would always be like, if it's a Filipino food made in the Philippines versus one made abroad, it will always say ours in the Philippines.
Because it's better. The authentic yep. one and the original. Yep. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Let me just clarify that point over there. So yeah, but do you see what I mean here? Right? Colonization ultimately cannot be blamed now, but did it play a part in how our culture was shaped to keep us where we are right now? Absolutely. There was a role there, right?
Yes, I agree. I agree to that, Ray, in terms of it. What keeps me frustrated is we keep on blaming colonization to what we are now. I can't speak for the whole of Philippines, but for sure, still the society as in general, still like say like, oh, because we were colonized, that's why we think that the products are, you know, better abroad. But, you know, like that has been like how long ago?
Yep.
You know, like even South Korea was able to, you know, get back from their feet after yep. the war, right? Yep. So that's what really frustrates me. And if people say, then why did we go out of the Philippines? Why we didn't help our nation? Then I mean, you know, we have to help ourselves first before we help others, you know?
Yep.
So
No, sorry for cutting you off there, but just to comment on that, and that really hits home what you said about, you know, our host countries or even foreigners say, why are you leaving the Philippines? You need to stay home to solve your issues. And what frustrates me is that they just don't get it. Now, I'm not gonna say that I'm the smartest or the sharpest tool in the drawer, right? I'm not gonna say that. But I'd like to think of myself as somebody who's capable enough to hold down a good white-collar job and contribute to society. That being said, I also think that I have the academic and intellectual acumen to really progress in life. Now, people need, or especially for those who are watching who are foreigners or who are native to New Zealand or Australia or the places where you find Filipinos building a new life, I want you to ask this question. If we could have done that, or if we had the means to do that, the culture to do that, don't you think we would have done that already? I'll be honest here. I had, or rather a friend offered me an opportunity years before, right before I stepped out of college or uni to move to a different country, Sweden. I said no, because I wanted to help the Philippines. Of course, I was an idealistic kid back then, an idealistic 20-year-old. Most Filipinos are. And then I tried. Look, reality, I did. I went, I took a job, did follow the rules, whatnot, voted. And yet nothing. Nothing for what? 8 years until my brother came and said, oh, I'm going to the US, Florida, for my OTJ. And then that's when I realized, nothing I do will help me progress. Nothing I do will make the change I'm properly looking for. It's all going to be surface level. And if there's anything the past two elections in the Philippines proved, yes, there were some improvements maybe, depending on who you ask, but they're all surface level. just the immediate, nothing, almost nothing long term. And that's why I think, you know, nah, I'm done with that.
Yes. And speaking of nothing long term, that's what I notice as well. I mean, us as a society, I guess, again, this is a multifaceted solution or question, because I notice that as a society, we don't really look at long term in a way. Like, there's no long term planning almost. Like, everything is instant. We need to see it like instantly or instant gratification or et cetera. But maybe because we can't sustain a longer haul of change, if you know what I mean, because we are, let's say, you know, poor, you know, you know,
well, yes.
a poor country. Like, yes. A lot of Filipinos are really poor. We are lucky that we could have a comfortable life in the Philippines, but a lot of Filipinos, you know, are really poor, and that's the majority, I have to say, I think. But then if I feel like it's like a catch-22 in a way, that if you need change, you need to, in a society, you need to have a longer plan, like I guess step by step or something, but the society couldn't withstand it in a way, because again, they are poor, unless the wealth gap will be, you know, will be addressed. But yep. Again, it's like a catch-22, right? So it just really goes on and on
and again, to even dissect everything that you've said and to try to resolve all of those things will require so much, if not too much, work for the average Filipino. And yes, it's good of you to mention a lot of our countrymen being poor, even if the International Monetary Fund describes us as a middle income nation. Sure, we're not exactly a suffering nation, unlike other nations that, you know, that we show, like Ghana, if I'm not mistaken, like Burkina Faso or some African countries. We're not that. But see here, when you said that, Glee, about us being poor, it really resonated with, or rather it triggered a memory from what a friend of mine said. He was taking up his master's degree, and his professor asked him, right, what do you think is the most important topic that a politician, or what do you think a politician could do to win votes or to win the election, you know? And of course, master's degree students, future MBAs, they give various answers like, you know, better economy, better jobs, blah, blah, blah. The professor just outright rebuffed them and said, no, none of that. Whoever can provide breakfast, lunch, and dinner, that's the one who wins. See, that's that short-term solution that you were talking about, that immediate gratification. And it works because a lot of our countrymen are financially challenged, that they don't have those basic needs. And
yes.
A lot of people who want to resolve these kinds of issues in the Philippines are being hampered by politics and bureaucracy to the point that they can't, all right? They can't. And that's why a lot of them give up and move away. Or if they have the business acumen, they make themselves rich by having a business in the Philippines and, sadly, for the most part, playing the politics there.
Yeah.
Right? So that's something that should be addressed, but I quite honestly know never will be. Not in our lifetime. I don't think so. Sadly.
Sadly, yes, unfortunately. And no matter how I think of a solution, it's just really maybe in an alternate universe, I would say. Yeah, going back to the colonization part, right? If we would not have been colonized, would we have had progressed more, do you think? This is a hypothetical question, yeah. Right? Because we will never know. But what do you think?
Well, there is that possibility that we would definitely progress. Some might argue that we will, you know. As you know, as a geek and a nerd myself, I have asked those questions and have wondered about an alternate history of the Philippines. And I think there is a possibility that we could have slightly progressed more, probably even become a first world country. But there's always that lingering question on how we get there. What our society would actually look like. Will what we do, or as a society, or our norms, our cultures, would it be considered acceptable in the wider world? So much so that could it draw the ire of that wider world, right? So, because let's be honest here, Zesties, you know, there are some things that we think or believe in the Philippines, or maybe in your own home countries for those as for the Philippines, that the learned West might not actually find acceptable, that
like
they
which
might
one?
Look down. Let's take, for example, and I'll use Singapore, which is something that we share with them, hitting your kids, spanking them, or, you know, using corporal punishment. The West, and maybe a lot of us now, I don't know about you, Glee, disagree about that kind of parental discipline, disagree that that should be part of education. But according to probably my favorite politician ever, Lee Kuan Yew, the founder of Singapore, he says, no, that it was the stick that made me who I am, that gave, you know, that gave discipline, right? And it reflects on their society. Whether that's good or not is definitely up for debate. And fellow Zesties, I suppose growing up now or being grown up now, your mind kind of changes. Where once there was black and white, there's now that gray area, right? You could always say what Lee Kuan Yew was wrong. And all Singaporeans have to do is raise their passport and says number one in the world. That's one thing, right? Throwing of slippers from parents at their kid, viewed negatively by the learned West. And yet when your kid is shouting or screaming, what do you do? And another thing, if we're going to look at the West, or probably we got this from the West, to discipline our kid or to make sure or to keep them behave, we put a screen in front of them, don't we? A tablet or a phone that we are now beginning to adapt worldwide, right? See, these are the things that we have to think about when it comes to colonization. How, and if we were supposed to be free from that, how will the world view us? And because if they view us negatively, will they intervene? And don't tell me that they won't.
And it's interesting because I have talked to Australian colleagues like who were born here, basically. Mm-hmm. Actually, their parents hit them too. Mm. And this is a fellow millennial Australian. Mm. So it doesn't necessarily mean that only Asians hit their kids.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah. So that was even back in the day, they were still hit too. And he thinks that helped him as well in a way to be disciplined. But for some reason, you know, there is a shift in mindset in these current times.
Yep, absolutely. And look, I suppose almost all the Caucasians that I've spoken to within our age group or even slightly older, they would share stories about their parents doing that. And I suppose it's because of that, that a lot of them, even if they do admit that, you know, it helped discipline them, a lot of them have changed their minds and said, look, sure, it disciplined me, but there are better ways to do it. That's why we're passing these laws to outlaw those things. But then you also have societies, and probably, and here's where I would argue a little bit that Asians might be a little bit more rigid on it and actually go the opposite direction and say, hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? So that's one of the thoughts there, or just a minor thought of mine. And again, it cycles back to how our would-have-been colonizers would react if we continue on with our free society that colony-free society that way, right?
Mm-mm. Yep. And so in terms of Philippines being a third world country, if, again, this is a hypothetical question, would you have immigrated to a different country if the Philippines was not a third world country, either colonized or not colonized, but, you know, like a rich country, basically?
Okay, very good question. And I'll be honest, I've pondered that kind of question before, right? Of whether I would leave the Philippines if we were a first world country. You know, the funny thing is, I would have said no prior to coming here. But then now that I'm here and I've spoken with New Zealanders, really inculcated myself into the most of their culture, or at least understood quite a few of their culture, you realize that even they have, that they have also dreams and aspirations outside of New Zealand's borders. And a lot of them, in fact, most of them, leave New Zealand to, you know, to work abroad for a few years, maybe before coming back. Some stay permanently outside because, you know, the difference is they have the quicker means, I would say, of being able to do that compared to Filipinos. So I, if it was me and I grew up in a rich Philippines, there's a huge chance I would have still gone abroad. That I would have said, like, you know what? Why would I just stay in the Philippines? I'll go outside, work a few years in a call center in the Philippines or whatnot, save up and go to Australia, New Zealand, US, or the UK, which a lot of New Zealanders do. And I'm sure a lot of Australians do as well, right? So honestly, I think I still would have gone. Whether I would choose to reside permanently in outside the Philippines would be another matter entirely. And to that, I wouldn't be too sure.
I also have the same mindset on that, in a way that I really want to experience the world. So I'm not sure if you know about the story, but I did work. It was a business trip. I did go to the UK for work for several weeks. And that's what opened my eyes in terms of like how the world is, because it's really, really different.
It is.
In the Philippines. And I would have to say, I guess if someone really doesn't travel as much, you would really look like very...
Inward thinking, right?
Yes, to put it lightly, like you would behave like very differently than someone who had a lot of experience outside of that home country, right? So then that was the catalyst for me as well to really look into living abroad. Although I had already thought, you know, before that trip that I wanted to live abroad. That's why I didn't take up law in the Philippines, because I know that I will want to go abroad, because a lot of my cohorts were you know, taking up law because, you know, a CPA lawyer is the thing.
Yep, so, it is.
So, yeah. So, yeah, that was the catalyst for me. And I would have to say as well that I would perhaps, similar to you, like I would have perhaps tried working abroad. But in terms of whether I would live there, that's another, you know, that's for another day of pondering, I would say. With that, what do you think, or what is your opinion about this brain drain phenomena in the Philippines? And perhaps it would tie back to what we would have spoke about earlier.
Look, I've also thought about that question a bit, you know. And as you grow up, your mind changes. And let's just say a few truths are revealed to you, or you experience these truths yourself. Now, this brain drain phenomenon on Filipinos leaving for another country, viewed negatively by those left behind, viewed negatively by the politicians who pander and trying to say, we'll get our countrymen back. My view on that is like, hang on. People are leaving for their own good, all right? It's not something that's negative for them. Sure, there is negativity in the Philippines and it does drain talent from you. However, and I have to emphasize this, improving the Filipino's lot or the individual Filipino's lot in terms of work, finance, salary, or however you want to call it, is not their job. It's for me, the elected official's job, because your task is to make the country run. It's supposed to make it better. The very fact that you cannot provide this basic need for Filipinos who have the talent in their fields doesn't means that you do not have the right to be negative about it with them. Your task is supposed to fix the issue, not by putting laws that are arbitrarily trying to tie them down to the country. Okay? Because here's another fact for you, all right? Even countries like New Zealand, and I'm not sure about Australia, but New Zealand definitely does complain about brain drain. Reality, Australia provides better pay. Mm. A lot of homegrown Kiwis go to Australia.
Really?
Yes. See? And yet, the government tries to do what it can, actually has policies or debate policies that they will try, that could potentially try and keep Kiwis in New Zealand, which is something that's rarely something that happens with our rhetoric back in the Philippines. They try to say something, say, oh, we'll provide jobs. What kind of jobs? What's the pay of those jobs? Right? In New Zealand, at the very least, you'll say, okay, we'll try to address this with lower tax cuts or whatnot. We'll make sure training is there for jobs like these. We'll try to build our talent here. And then you know that these jobs that they're talking about will at least give you the basic necessities even more. In the Philippines, no, they don't. I won't be going back to the Philippines to be a call center agent. I will not be going back to the Philippines to even be a bid manager or a bid writer or whatnot. Because I know if I go back to do that, the part-time cleaners here in New Zealand will earn significantly more. That is the reality, right? And if I'm just going to put in a little bit of flavor there, I'm happy here. And the reason, and if I'm going to cycle back to Kiwis moving to Australia, again, the reason why I'm not moving out is because I have my happiness and I'm single. I don't need to think about a family. If I had a family, I probably would consider moving. But at the end of the day, if I wanted to stay even with my family and try to figure something out, I could, because I've seen it happen. And a lot of these people who stay do not need to even put up a fancy business to achieve that. And that's why I think, you know, that's the situation right now on that matter.
Now here's the meat of the conversation, right? So for you, how do you find success?
Success. All right. So if I'm just going to consider myself as an individual, success for me is being able to address my basic needs comfortably do all my other hobbies while enjoying the work that I do, right? So look, I won't deny it. Back in the Philippines when I was working, career-wise, I was at my happiest there in the Philippines. I enjoyed my job. I was performing really well. So much so, in fact, and yes, this might sound like boasting, and maybe it is, but before I left, I was a top performer for 1 year, and we were awarded per quarter, and all those, and for four quarters, I got the top billing, and yet I could not support myself properly without my parents. So much so, my mom told me that while she didn't want me to leave the Philippines, she can't see me succeeding there, and neither could I, if I'm going to be honest. And that's why for me, you know, it was a necessity for me to leave to find that success. And this may sound strange to many of the Zesties or to the nerdy fans that are watching and to our fellow Filipinos. But the moment I saw that I really made the right decision is when I was able to buy my Nintendo Switch on my own money, with a salary that was slightly above middle income in the Philippines. That's it, right? That's where I knew that, look, I work hard, I do the right thing, I can afford quite a few of the stuff that I want that would have eluded me back home. A Nintendo Switch back home, it would be more than my 1 month salary. That's barely a week.
Like an iPhone, right?
Yeah, like an iPhone. If I wanted an iPhone, I can save up for that right now. If I wanted a new phone, I was able to quickly buy one. Very simple stuff, you know? And that to me is success. Being able to be, being able financially, more or less financially stable, and also being more or less being free to do as I please within legal limits, of course, right? And not worrying about my next meal, not worrying about whether I can pay rent or not. As strange as it may sound, these are simple things. Really, these are simple things. They just look big in the Philippines because we very much compare apples to grass. That's how it is between here and there. Apples to grass. And that's why for me, this is success. I don't need a manor. I don't need to be elected into office. I'm content now. Very content.
With what you mentioned about we are comparing apples to grass and whatnot, I think the media in the Philippines, I feel like it's a big part of that, especially the celebrities. I mean, you know, like, and all of the celebrities in the Philippines now have YouTube channels and podcasts as well. Which, but yeah, like, you know, people look up to these celebrities and these celebrities go to Europe. I mean, it's good to go to Europe. Like, I love going to Europe because, you know, I love traveling and learning about these things. But again, like, I feel that if you are somebody who is in the public eye, in a way, maybe I'm too idealistic, but I feel that you have that sense of responsibility to instill a bit of meaning to the others that look up to you, you know?
Okay. So let's try to look at that from quite a few levels as well, because look, I'm not going to disagree with you by saying that media has a role to play. It does. Very much so. And look, I graduated with a bachelor's in mass communication, so believe me when I say that media has influence and they should and they are responsible for a lot of how things are going on back home or back in the Philippines. That being said, let's look at our celebrities. Yes, we disagree. People like us probably would disagree with the direction they're going. Okay, sure. And we can argue to the high heavens about that, but we also have to think they also have to make ends meet. They also need to earn. They also need to do what is necessary to survive, in not just in their industry, but in life. And let me give an example right here. Like Tito, Vic, and Joey, those are celebrities known in the Philippines. So for those of you here who are non-Filipinos, they're massive celebrities back home. And they've been around the industry since probably the 70s, I would say, Glee, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Maybe, yeah.
Yep, something like that. Now, here's the thing. They had a talk. They had also like a variety show that tried to cater to slightly more intellectual humor, as I would say. That was
were they? They had.
They had being the operative word, okay. But for them to succeed, they needed to change tact. Because again, when they were starting out, they're like, we need to do something to earn money. That's why they came out with their Eat Bulaga right now and the kind of humor that they have. That, you know, caters to what Filipinos call the masa. And you know how those are, really? Slapstick and all and whatnot. You know, not something that you could actually compare to where we are right now. And I can't blame Tito, Vic, and Joey for doing what they did. And for me, only intelligent people could have seen that and said, look, we need to follow where the money is for us to be relevant in the long term. And they continue to be relevant up until now. And just to give you, and for those who, fellow Filipinos, for those who might view those guys negatively, let me tell you, I have heard one of them, Joey De Leon, you know him as funny and whatnot, and probably blame him for a lot of how entertainment is now in the Philippines. But when I heard him argue a point in one of the talk shows, like a serious point of argument, I found him to be probably the scariest intellectual I've ever seen on TV. The way he managed logic. His answer was wrong because it was on who wants to be a millionaire. But the way he argued his point made you believe what he was saying. And I was like, this man is scary, actually. Scary in terms of intellect. And I wouldn't cross him in a debate.
Okay. So just for the sake of argument, but well, mm-hmm. in a way. But have you seen the show Maria at Ibar? It's like in a dramatized version. It's a recent drama. Maria at Ibarra or something.
Something like that.
I even reviewed that on the show a year ago or so when I was watching it. But it was about a modernized version. It's like an isekai of No Limit Ang Hire. So somebody from the modern times went to the book, the No Limit Ang Hire book. And it was really, really, it was really, really interesting. And I loved it. And that's when I thought that, I mean, this could have been done. You know the Cine Escuela, and these are, for our fellow Zesties who are not Filipinos or who haven't lived in the Philippines, a lot of shows like Cine Escuela, or it's translated as cinema school cinema. These are no longer there. They are no longer there, but it was there when we were kids. Yep. And like Hiraya Manawari, those shows are no longer there. Why? And again, maybe it goes to what you've mentioned, that it's not patok to the masa, which again, it's like a rabbit hole, right? It's not patok to the masa hole. or not. How do you say it? Not catered to the masses, or it's not. I don't know. The masses do not like it, or something like that. But yeah. You wanted to say something.
Yep. So to put it bluntly, yes, it's not catered to the Philippine masses, and to our fellow Zesties, especially for those who are not from the Philippines. If I have to explain what Philippine masa is to you, or what the kinds of things that they would like, I will have very choice words, right? All of which are negative. I'll be honest with you, the things, the entertainment sector there in the Philippines, for it to survive, it has to cater to that negativity. Negativity that I do not wish to deal with. I do not wish to return to. And from my understanding, neither do you. Now,
but again, I have to stop you there. But why do the Filipino masses like the K-dramas and all? You know, there are a lot of K-dramas that are historical dramas, but why do we like it? And if even those dramas are not catered to the Filipino masses? And again, this again goes to our mentality that everything abroad is good, everything abroad is shiny and glamorous and etc. But why can't we do it on our own version? You know what I mean?
Partially agree with you. And I'm pretty sure this particular episode on Gleeful Talk Show is really meant to make me into a villain. But, you know, because the answer I'm going to give you is actually villainous, if not true. Take a look at what our masses are actually looking at these K-drama shows. Yes, the romance is a given. That's what they're looking for, right? That's the main thing. But what else? They want, with the Filipinos' hero worship of celebrities, they like what they see. They like the good-looking Korean men and women. That's what they're focusing on. They're focusing on their love teams that they want, right? Not just the story. In fact, the story is put to the wayside.
No, the stories are good. I would have to say I am a huge K-drama fan. Okay, go on.
I'm not saying the stories are bad. No, far from it. The stories are, in fact, good, right? For a lot. I loved Kingdom. I love that a lot, right? But you know how our fellow Filipinos think when it comes to celebrities, the main cast. Oh, this guy is handsome. Oh, this one is pretty. Definitely what we want to focus on, right? A lot of times it's like that. Now, fellow Zesties, I'm not saying that I'm immune to liking beautiful lead women. One reason why I continued on watching Hotel de Luna is because I found the main girl pretty. But if the story wasn't good enough, I wouldn't have continued on after two episodes and just looked at her picture on the internet instead. That's the honest, if not painful, truth here. And if you're going to view me as a villain like that, that's okay. It's just reality. And reality, I'm sorry, does not care for your feelings. That's just the truth of it. And Glee, I'm not saying that on your point, if you like the stories of these things, I believe you. I believe you, honestly. But again, it's not just about you as well. It's about our fellow Filipinos, what they think, what they do. Otherwise, if it was about good stories, right? Just about the good stories, we have so much talent back home. For me, one of the best films that I've ever seen was OTJ, as far as the Philippines is concerned, right? It made headwinds with a lot of our peers. But how often do you see that movie? A movie like that with the masa, a lot of them wouldn't care. With General Luna, made a lot of headwinds, so much that they had to, instead of just a one day showing, they had to put it in for probably a week or two, was it? Because a lot of people genuinely loved it. But what about the masa? Is that the kind of thing that they want? No. And that's a sad reality. You can come at me and say, Ray, we're canceling you because you are saying these things and we don't like it. One, it's fine because it's true. And two, it's fine. Cancel me. I'm okay. As long as I have my PlayStation and Nintendo subscription and my happy job, I'll be okay.
Okay, Ray, so if I get the gist with what you mean is that the masa likes the faces? Does that...
The faces, the shallow love, the shallow probably the shallow love stories love. And whatnot. Look, let's just be honest here. Let's call it as it is, all right? I'm sorry if people don't like what I'm saying. That is reality. And again, reality does not care for your feelings. And if we're going to cycle back to the topic of this episode, then yes, that is actually how it's happening. That's helping, you know, prevent our culture from evolving to becoming the progressive country that we supposedly want it to be. Of course. Okay.
Okay. I beg to differ. Okay.
As you always
put. Okay, because... This is again what I was talking about the long haul. I feel, this is my opinion, I know I'm also part of the masa in a way, in the masses, that I love looking at beautiful people on TV. I mean, who wouldn't, right?
Everybody does.
Yes. And again, if the story is good, that I'm there for the long haul. But again, if let's say that one particular teleserye or particular series, it might not be the one that will break the wheel, right? But I think that if we consistently have those stories, that those good content, Filipino content about our history, about Nonlimitanghere, about all of those, like those, I'm not going to say intellectual, but mainly our story, not like just we can put love story in it, but it has to have meaning on it, right? But if we can, or not we, but the Philippine entertainment industry can have consistent stories or content like those, then I think that the masses might eventually change their mind. And again, this is again a long haul kind of situation. That's what I think.
And this again, I am sorry to disagree with you. Okay. And look, I'm not here to just argue for argument's sake, but I'm going to show you a few of these points. Now, yes, I do agree with you. Again, as I've agreed with you earlier, that media does play a role. But media is also a business, and businesses need to earn. Right? And they'll always chase the one that earns the most. That's logical. That's expected. Now, let's look at a few concrete examples. Yes, I mentioned earlier General Luna, and I think there was that Gregorio Del Pilar movie as well. Both very good. Both highly well-loved and reviewed by a lot of Filipinos. That's the truth, right? And quite a few other films as well. But then if we're going to look at our biggest local film festival, the Metro Manila Film Festival, right? We have these shows. They show these shows. But all the time, you know, the good films, yes, they get all the awards and whatnot. But the almighty peso, the one who says who has the most revenue, are shows from Vic Soto, like from Tito Vic and Joey, with their slapstick, no-nonsense or nonsense comedy, right? Yes, they're like, okay, sure, go ahead, win all the awards. But at the end of the day, we're the ones who sell more. And studios see that. That's why a lot of them compete for talent, to give out these kinds of entertainment. And they're always blockbusters, aren't they?
And, I know. Okay. Yep. Go on.
No. I get where you're coming from here. You want a more, something a little bit more gradual, right? Something that, you know, yep, if we can keep doing this, it will change. And I'm not arguing that it won't make people change. I'm not arguing that point. But what I'm arguing is that what if you are the CEO or the CFO, since you are an accountant, who has to make sure that the budget and the revenue, especially the final revenue and after all the taxes and amortizations and whatnot are accounted for, is on the widest positive as it can possibly be, right? You have to make that decision. You have to make sure that, you know, you keep earning. And that's a universal thing, right? Companies do that. Is it right? That's a different debate. Is it wrong? Again, a different debate.
Okay.
And there's another topic there's another parallel example I can show, but then I think I can. You can move on to your next question, Glee, if ever.
Okay, let me just say this. No, I lost my train of thought, but I get what you mean about the almighty peso. But think about it. The masses, who we mentioned earlier, might be the below average income earners, right? And then, but if we compare that with the middle income earners who would go to a very good show and who would have that idea that, oh, this entertainment industry is consistently delivering really good story, then wouldn't that multiply in the long run? I mean, that's something to, you know, maybe in a parallel universe, but that's just my take in terms of if we talk about peso or the dollar or etc. Again, there's another one, like it might be an instant gratification because we need the businesses now, right? P&L this year and etc. But if we think about who has more money to give, is it the masa or the middle income earners like us? And again, that's why the middle income earners like us don't go to these movies, because they are consistently not delivering the stories that we want to watch. You know what I mean?
All right, but here's another point. And I'm sorry, my fellow Zesties, but this is going slightly in a loop right now.
Yeah.
But let me just try. On a personal note, I'll probably end my argument here. All right. 50 pesos on the hands of a middle income earner, a rich man, and a poor man in the Philippines is still 50 pesos, regardless. And the truth is, the majority are those in the economic classification of the Philippines, in the class C, E, C, E, D, and E, right? And D and E would still have access to a lot of these films, could still scrimp and save to watch these films. The so-called upper C to A, who ignore these so-called films, their numbers are not enough, right? Their numbers are not enough to turn the tide. And let's be honest here, the reason why a lot of these class A, B, and upper C especially those in business, they're succeeding, it's because they cater to this majority. Because this majority has no choice but to spend on them. That's just the, for me, unfortunately, that's just the truth of this. So, Lee, we're in the minority. We have to accept that. we can collectively watch these big movies or these so-called good movies. We can. But at the end of the day, we're the minority. Our 50 pesos is the same as is the same 50 pesos as any other Juan de la Cruz or Jaime Zobel de Ayala. These terms are Filipino, my fellow Zesties. It means the rich and the regular guy, okay? So that's just my point of it. And okay, of course, yeah. I did promise myself years ago that I would try not to debate too much about stuff, especially with women, but you know, that's just my point of it.
I get what you mean. Yes, yeah. I get what you mean. And so, again, Zesties, this proves how this is a catch-22 situation, right? It's like a spiraling, we will never end, never-ending debate or discussion. But since we need to wrap up the show, before we wrap up the show, Ray, would you define success differently if you have been born in a first world country?
Absolutely. Because here's the thing. If I was born in a first world country, and again, I'm basing this from my observation here in New Zealand, what I would want in life would be significantly different, especially if the basics are already taken in. Because remember, when for a lot of us immigrants, you, Glee, and myself, our main goal is get a good job, be able to pay the bills, be able to have our luxuries at the beach or wherever, right? And that to us is already success. But to the homegrown Kiwis here, that could mean owning their own 3-4-bedroom house, having a boat like some of our bosses have, enjoying travels to Europe, to Africa, to Asia, wherever, on a regular basis. That's probably going to be my definition of success, to be able to spend more on luxury than just the basic necessities and some of my hobbies. And just to give an example from a friend of my sister who is based now in Australia, when there was an issue that happened in Singapore, she was working in Singapore at the time, wherein she had to leave her job because of Singapore's laws, right? Her main concern was, oh my God, what's going to happen to all my Euro trips? How often will I be able to do that? And honestly, my sister and I were like, wow, first world problems. And I think that would have been my case had I grown up here. If you told me I couldn't stay in Europe for 6 months and just have it there for 3 weeks, that to me would probably be a failure. Me now would consider that a dream. So yes, long story short, yeah. My definition of success would be vastly different, and it would gear more towards luxury than anything else.
All right. Thank you, Ray, for sharing your thoughts and this very fruitful debate. Yeah, so there you have it, Zesties. So for you, Zesties, I wanted to ask you, what does successful life mean to you, whether you were born on a third world country or you're born in a first world? Please let us know on the comment section on the podcast. And if you would like to follow Nerdy Fans Podcast, please do. That is on the link on the episode notes down below. Any thoughts you would like to share as we end this episode?
So fellow Zesties, on a closing note, please be reminded that for those of us who leave and want to stay permanently and have quite a few choice words for the Philippines, by no means does it mean that we are not proud of our origin, of how we grew up, of what we have earned back home to be able to do what we are doing now, right? And I'll be honest, and people know this, I don't hate the Philippines. You're born a Cebuano, it's impossible for you not to be proud of being Cebuano or a Filipino. But reality is reality, and it doesn't care for your feelings. And the reality is, economically, for those who just want to do a good job, it's not good in the Philippines. That's why we left, and that's why we're finding success here, because we are given the dignity of honest work and honest pay. And that, fellow Zesties and nerdy fans who are watching, is my last take on it.
Thank you, Ray, and thank you, Zesties, for listening to this episode. Please don't forget to follow the podcast wherever you get your podcast, and please give us a rating as well, because it's gonna help the podcast a lot. And thank you so much for our patrons who are sending me a cup of coffee or two. Thank you so much, and I'll see you on the next episode. Have a gleeful life.